Well, it's good to be with you tonight to share with you in the gospel the testimony to our risen Saviour. Will you turn with me, please, tonight for a short reading from the second book of Kings in chapter 5. Second book of Kings and the 5th chapter. A story I'm sure many are conversant with. 2 Kings in chapter 5, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? And he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifices unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this way the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And we are sure that God will bless to us this portion of his own holy word. In the day in which we live, the testimony of Scripture is so often discounted, and men and women are quite happy to present all sorts of excuses and reasons for not turning to the Scriptures and believing the divine account that God by His Spirit has been left on record for us. But we have also not only the record here in the Old Testament of this particular incident, but also the Spirit of God has seen fit to record the words of the Lord Jesus away in Luke's Gospel in chapter 4 and verse 27, where the Lord Jesus himself said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And so the Lord gives divine confirmation that this is just not an incident of no account, but it has a special lesson for us that we might not only read it but also look into its content and find there that the Lord Jesus, he knew the importance and the import of that which has been recorded here in 2 Kings and chapter 5. Most unusual, of course, and this was one of the things that caused anger on the occasion when the Lord Jesus said those words in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, because there was no lepers healed in Israel at that particular time, save this one, who was not an Israelite whatsoever, a Syrian by birth. And so God was pleased, even in that bygone day, to grant healing to someone who was prepared to seek the God of Israel. And he proved the wonderful blessing that came as a result. But we read of the background to this man. If there had been another man like him, there were few and far between. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria in verse 1. He was a great man with his master, honourable, and he won many a battle. He was a mighty man of valour. In fact, we should say concerning this man that he had got everything going for him. He was a man of outstanding ability and virtue. And yet we have those few words. And what a cloud it casts over the whole scene. But he was a leper. Sad, isn't it? When men with all their ability and all their prowess in this life, the Spirit of God just writes upon the page of Holy Writ concerning their whole life, for this was going to affect this man right unto his very grave. Sadly, in that day there was no means of healing. Things, of course, moved on since that day, but it's still a disease that gradually eats into the body and ultimately causes death. The Spirit of God in the divine record has penned many an occasion when even the Lord Jesus himself came across lepers, and he either touched them and or spoke the word and they were healed. But this man, there was no means of healing for him. And so the Old Testament has recorded for us something of the severity of this disease. For in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, there is recorded for us how such an individual in Israel, although this was in Syria, was to be separated from the rest of the people, and he would live in exile, away out of the normal society of life. The Old Testament and the New Testament leaves us in no doubt that this disease of leprosy is but a picture of sin. It's that which starts just in a small, maybe just an innocent way, and yet gradually it takes over the life, and ultimately, as James in his first epistle records for us, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Yet how wonderful it is that even in this bygone day, there was provision made for this dear man. He need not remain in that condition. And that's the wonder of the gospel, you know. The grace of God toward mankind. But still, while sin abounds, and men and women and young folk too, seem to thrive and persist in the pathway of sin, yet there is still in the grace of God provision that mankind need not continue in that pathway, for there is a provision of escape from such a state. Well, this life was blighted, and day by day, no doubt, he would become increasingly conscious of his inability to deal with the situation. And yet God, in his wondrous grace, has brought away from the land of Israel just a little navy. And it's just the simple testimony of this dear woman, this dear maid, that's recorded for us here in the third verse. Would God, she says, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. There's no ifs or buts in the testimony of this dear girl. There she bears the good news to her mistress, and that which can indeed prove to be a blessing to this dear man. She might well have taken exception of her circumstances and of her surroundings, and of being away from home, from her people, yet she bears testimony and witness to the ability of the prophet that's in Samaria. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria. Word gets to the Naaman, and then to the king of Syria himself. One went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. Maybe we all need to be very careful in the day and generation, for there are so many around us who have no time or thought for the Son of God and for the salvation that he procured at such infinite cost at Calvary. Yet here is this dear maid, and she bears testimony, and it comes to this dear man's ears as like good news from a far country. The gospel to him, no other way, no other answer to his circumstances, but it comes, and what does he do? He acts upon it straight away. You know, we cannot disregard the warnings that come through the Word of God. And sometimes in life's pathway, difficulties come. And it may be that through the very circumstances of life, individuals have been brought to realize their desperate need before God. And they've come to realize and to seek deliverance from the positions that they're in. This dear man then went to the king of Syria, and letters are sent from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. But how typical, though, so often the message isn't obeyed. It was sent to the wrong person and to the wrong place, and even Naaman himself takes the wrong present with him for this measure of healing that he seeks. But there is someone who hears and who knows, and it comes to the ear of the man of God, Elisha. He says to the king of Syria, why have you rent your garments? Send Naaman to me. He will know that there is indeed a prophet in Samaria. Many, you know, today, they seek satisfaction, maybe in the drugs or the pleasures of this world. in the creed or some religious system. But there's no way that satisfaction can be found. Nothing that's abiding. It's only in the God-appointed way. This false message at first didn't bring the answer. But there's one in heaven tonight, praise God for that, who has not only provided the answer, but who is still in mercy and grace, even tonight, still waiting and ready and willing to receive the truly repentant sinner. Sin, you see, as it works in the heart and life, there's no answer. Reformation all that men can engineer and seek to work will never provide. There's only one God-appointed way that God works in, and it's contained in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said when he was here, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you and I are shut up to the divinely appointed way. Seek as we may satisfaction in aught that's around us, and it will never prove of eternal value. But this dear man, he's brought to the man of God. Ah, how lovely to see. Elisha sends a message out. He doesn't come himself. With Naaman and all his host that had come on this occasion, the word comes to this dear man in verse 10. Simple instructions. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee again, and thou shalt be clean. If there was one thing that this man longed and yearned for, was to be free from this disease that was besetting him. And yet the instructions seem so simple, even a child could understand what was needed. 7 times he was to wash in Jordan, and the promise was there. And they and thou shalt be clean. But you know, men and women don't like to just be shut up and to do something. In fact, this man rebels because he knows the condition of Jordan. And he says about the rivers of Damascus, they're far better than River Jordan. May I not wash in them? And you know, when young men and women are challenged with regard to sin in their heart and life, and of coming to the foot of the cross to accept what Christ has done for them there, so often they turn aside. We don't want to get involved with this sort of thing. Or tonight, afresh, we bring to you that God in Christ has done everything for the eternal blessing of the sinner. But it needs that the sinner not only comes in faith, but also obedience. Faith in the message first Naaman had to exercise in what had been sent to him by Elisha's servant, and then ultimately that he needed to obey. We can turn aside and count the work of Calvary of no account, and we do it to our eternal damnation. This man had placed before him the means of his blessing, and he was wroth. He went away angry. He didn't want to do what he was told. And you know, there's many a young soul tonight who we know that had placed before them the message of salvation and of the necessity of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they'll turn aside and refuse the offer. This dear man then, he had placed before him the only means of his healing, and yet there were those who were prepared to speak to him and suggest that if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much then to wash in Jordan 7 times and be clean? And he was prepared to submit. You know, people don't like to accept the fact that they are sinners in the sight of God. They're quite happy to go on in their own way day by day, disregarding eternity and disregarding the work of Calvary, and that ultimately to face those words that the Lord Jesus Christ will say to them in that coming day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh friend, tonight, is there someone in our gathering? it's the only message of mercy. God in Christ has done everything at Calvary. He suffered and bled and died. He came from the heights of glory here into this scene to accomplish this great work. There's salvation, as Peter says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It was humbling for this dear man, and yet he was prepared to be obedient. He went into Jordan and washed 7 times, and he came. And I love those words. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Demanded complete and utter obedience. 6 times would not suffice, but 7 was going to perform that perfect work. He came, and his flesh came like as a little child. How wonderful it is. Can I translate that over into the New Testament afresh tonight? You know, when Christ comes into the heart and life and cleanses the individual of their sin, it's like as John Donne's Gospel in chapter 3 reminds us, it's like being born again. The Apostle Paul reminds us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, tonight, if there's someone in our gathering still in their sin, still going the downward way, still refusing God's the Son and His salvation, here is the answer. To be born again by the Spirit of God, born from above, a new life. Never again will God, as the hymn writer puts it, will payment twice demand, once at my bleeding short his hand and then again at mine. No, once in the end of the age he's appeared to put away sin, and when he does a work, as here in this incident in the Old Testament, it was perfect. That dear man knew what it was to be free from this loathsome disease, free to live his life as a new creature. And so he was delivered, a complete change of life. I wonder, friend, tonight I'm speaking to someone, sin has done a deadly work in the heart and life. The bondage of sin is something that maybe you've tried to break and you've failed time and time again. The power of Christ and that precious blood that we've been singing about tonight is able not only to cleanse your past and remove it, as the scripture says, from as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove your transgression from you, never again to be brought before you. Here, the work is perfect. He's cleansed. He can cleanse, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring a new quality, a new ambition, a new aim in life. When the Spirit of God comes in to the heart and life and indwells and enables you to live a life that you can't live yourself, but by the grace of God, it is possible. Well, Naaman realized that he couldn't go on back to Syria and live as he had been in days gone by, and he asked that there might be two mules burden of earth granted him, because he realizes he can't go into that house of Rimmond and offer sacrifices as he has done in days gone by. And while his job will demand that he goes in on occasion with the king of Syria, he's no longer going to sacrifice to the god of Rimmon in the future. And you know that's one of the evidences of when there's a real change in the heart and life. If there hasn't been, one might well question an individual's profession of faith. But hear this dear man, he's not going to live as he has done in days gone by. He's going to live differently. And that's one of the hallmarks of one who's been saved, brought out of the world and into fellowship with Christ. So there we are, the wonderful presentation in the Old Testament of the deliverance of an individual from the power of something that he got no power over. And by God's grace, there was deliverance found for him. I wonder then, tonight, if I'm speaking to someone in this meeting, the work of Christ has been fully and completely furnished for all mankind, deliverance from the power of sin. And it's something that is increasingly evident in our day and generation. And who knows what the future may hold yet. But one feels that this world in which we are living in our day and generation is but fitting themselves for the coming judgment of God. And while in mercy and grace tonight, another opportunity is granted to you to seek God's mercy and pardon and cleansing through the precious blood of Christ shed on Calvary. Who knows what a day may hold. The apostle reminds us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tonight is another opportunity when you can come trust Christ as your Saviour. But who knows what tomorrow may hold. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we would warn you to flee from the wrath to come. For wrath there must come upon this ungodly world in which we find ourselves today. And as man, I believe, fits himself for the coming judgment of God. Who knows? Even tonight may be your last opportunity of trusting Christ as your Saviour. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we know not what a day may bring forth. We can't boast ourselves of tomorrow. For tomorrow's sun, as the hymn writer puts it, may never rise upon your long deluded sight. Tonight, or be wise, come to Christ. Enter into the wonder and the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God, and go on your way in the assurance that whatever may come along life's pathway, to have Christ is to have everything. Worldly pleasure and satisfactions will all dwindle away. But here we're presenting something that's not only going to change life now, but it's also going to assure life, an eternal life. Because this is the gift of God. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. Can I challenge you tonight? Have you got it? Do you know Christ? Have you entered in by faith to the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God? Well, you need to do it tonight, for I can't guarantee you tomorrow. Shall we close then by singing 240? Out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be, like a ship without a rudder, on a wild and stormy sea? Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge nigh, can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ, without a Saviour, give to him now your heart, ere the day of mercy closes and you hear his words depart. 240. Thank you. Our gracious God and Father, we draw near now in thy presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. How we give thee thanks for the wonder of thy grace, revealed to us in the person of thy eternal Son, who gave his all for mankind there on Calvary's cross, that none might be excluded from heaven's portals in that coming day. And we pray, our Father, that there may be none, even in our gathering tonight, will hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So, our Father, we look to thee then for thy blessing. Thank thee for this time around thy holy word, things that have been written aforetime, written for our learning, on whom the ends of the age have come. And so we seek thy blessing as we part now, as we give thanks for all thy grace toward us, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.